Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
This is World Adoption Day, and with us to talk about that on a more local level, Nadine Marsh Carter is here, the president and CEO of the Children's Home Society of Virginia. Nadine, great to meet you. Great to have you here this morning.
Well, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
You are up from Richmond and made the drive this morning, and especially on a day with this World Adoption Day. It is really good to have you here.
Well, I'm thrilled, and I'm so in awe of all the people who make that drive on 95. I have a whole new respect for the commuters.
It is, whether you're coming from Richmond North or from Fredericksburg to D.C., it's a tough grind.
It gets your adrenaline going first
every day. That's what you came in and gave me a traffic report when you first got here. Let's start off by talking a little bit about the work of the Children's Home Society of Virginia. You've been around for a while.
Yes, we have. In fact, this year we're celebrating our 115th anniversary, so we're thrilled to have really been making an impact in the lives of children and families in Virginia for more than a century.
Talk about what you do.
We are a child placing agency. That's a fancy way of saying we're an adoption agency. Our organization has been, since its inception, really focused on permanency and the value of family, a healthy family, and how that can transform the lives of at-risk children as well as our whole community. And so we focus on getting children into safe, loving homes, whether those are infants who need to be adopted or older children out of the public foster care system. Our real focus is to place children where they can thrive and grow and reach their full potential while they feel safe and loved and supported.
And we're going to talk about a lot of these kind of in depth as we go along this morning. How do you come across, or the children that you get, how does that all begin?
Well, it's interesting. We have two tracks by which we're able to place children for adoption. The first is the more traditional infant adoption program, where women in crisis come to the agency and say, hey, we're not in the position where we can parent, but we want to have a good outcome for our child. And so they place their infants in our care, and we place babies with families who want to raise the children. I'm a product of that process, in fact, and it's a powerful, wonderful endeavor. We also, however, place children out of the public foster care system. These are children who are older, who have been placed in foster care because they were either abused or abandoned or neglected. They've had a difficult start, and they need the safety and love of a family so much so that they can heal from the difficult starts they've had and become healthy young adults. And so with these children, we partner with departments of social services throughout the state and including this region to get them placed with a new family. They've been traumatized and they're a little older, but they have just the same deserving needs for a safe, loving family, and we work to get them placed in a family.
We'll get into more details about infant adoption and the foster adoption as we go along this morning. So I guess when you mentioned when a woman comes in with a pregnancy and is talking to you, so you do some counseling then with them.
Absolutely. We have amazing social workers who all have master's degrees or higher who provide free pregnancy counseling. And our goal is never to tell a woman what to do, but to help her understand the supports that she has in place and to understand all of her options. We provide that counseling 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We're on call because we recognize when a woman has the courage to come forward and say, I'm in a tough spot, we want to be a resource to her. Very unbiased counseling. It's not a counseling to say you need to place your child for adoption. It's helping them explore their options and determine the best outcome for the child. We also work with birth parents, birth dads, extended family members, anyone who might have an interest in the outcome of that pregnancy and in making sure that the baby gets to a good place.
I saw something, and I think it was you, for having temporary infant care for at-risk infants.
You're absolutely right. If a mother decides that she's just not sure what she wants to do or she's in a tough spot but thinks ultimately she could parent, we provide short-term foster care. It's private care, interim care, which the babies are placed with our families who provide them the nurturing, safe, loving care that they need, while we work with the birth parent to help them get to the place where they may be able to parent. We work with the birth parent to get them housing or addressing their substance abuse challenges. Whatever they are, while the baby, and our goal is always that the child be safe, nurtured, and cared for, and have his or her needs met. We do that for a finite amount of time. We don't want that to drag on forever. And if it's determined the mother's ready to take the baby back, we'll work with her to get the baby back within her family. Or if she decides that adoption is the better option, we do have a pool of adoptive parents who are available in that circumstance. But again, it's so critical for folks to know our goal is not to have a mother place her baby, but to determine what is the best outcome for that child.
Boy, and that's and a lot of times that's a hard and an emotional kind of thing.
It's an emotional and very compelling time, and that's why I'm so proud of our social work team, because they're so compelling. They've seen about every possible circumstance, and they know all along our goal is what is the best outcome for the baby.
Do you offer any kind of post-adoption support services?
And so if a parent decides to place a child for adoption, whether it's an infant or an older child, we recognize that adoption is a loving connection, but there are going to be challenges potentially with every adoption. And so we have social workers who are dedicated to providing those, as you call, post-adoption services, to making sure that after the placement, all of the parties involved feel that they're in a good place, that they have the supports they need. We traditionally provide post-adoption services to the older children who are really struggling with the loss that came with them being put in the foster care system. But that service is available to all of our clients to make sure that the family is safe, stable, and can continue permanently, because that's our ultimate goal. Our organization is all about permanency.
Yeah. What happens, or how do you deal with when a person who's adopted becomes an adult and wants to search for their parent?
That's a fascinating process that you hear more and more about all the time in the media. We call it a search and reunion. And we have both adoptees, or folks who were adopted, and birth parents who place a child come to the agency with some frequency to seek out and find and reconnect with their biological family. Our social workers provide that service. It's an amazing process. We recently had a woman reconnect with her birth mother when the woman was in her 50s and her birth mother was in her 80s. Hmm. And so it could happen at any time in the adoption process. But what we really emphasize is by working with an agency, Children's Home Society specifically, you'll have professional counselors who guide you through that process and make sure that both parties are ready for the reunion and it's a positive experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, in some cases, one may not be interested at all.
It can be a challenge because when birth parents make a placement, they are offered anonymity and often have to move on with their lives. And then for adoptees, they don't always want to initially to be connected with their biological family. But that's where the counseling is really critical that we provide, because we recognize that your biological heritage is a very big part of who you are. And if we can facilitate a pleasant or positive reunion, that's our goal. But primarily, we want to provide the supports that both the birth parents and the adoptees need in order to move forward and feel comfortable with the reunion.
When someone goes through the when they make the adoption, do they do, you know, give you pictures or do a report every so often?
They do. We ask our birth parents to provide as much information as they can when they make the placement so that the child has that information about their heritage. And often birth parents will say, I'm going to place, but it would be really nice if I could get periodic updates about the well-being of the child. They don't have to be identifying updates, but just so that they can see their child is healthy and thriving and developing well. I think there's a misconception in the public that if someone places their child for adoption, they don't care. It's just the opposite. When a woman has the courage to say, I'm at a place where I can't care for my child, and yet I want to make sure that that baby has a great future, they really do care. They're concerned. They're able to set aside the instinct of keeping their baby to sacrificially place it with someone else whom they believe can provide a better future for that child. And so we honor that and ask that our adoptive parents do provide periodic updates if that's the request of the biological mother. Again, not identifying, but right, just so they can see they're doing well.
Yeah. It's the Children's Home Society of Virginia. That's our focus this morning. Nadine Marsh Carter is here. She's the president and CEO. If someone wants to find out more about a lot of that we're talking about this morning, what's your website?
It's www.chsva.org. chsva.org, Children's Home Society of Virginia.org. Lots of information about our infant placements, our foster care adoption, which is where we have our greatest need, and the myriad of other adoption support services that we offer, including postings of many of the waiting children who are available today to become part of a permanent family.
Okay, we'll give that website as we go along this morning. You mentioned some of the myths. We'll get into that. We're also going to talk about a sweet frog benefit that's taking place today. This is World Adoption Day. We'll talk about that when we come back. Nadine Marsh Carter here. More in Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Today's World Adoption Day. The Children's Home Society of Virginia is here. Nadine Marsh Carter, the president and CEO, is with us. Nadine, Sweet Frog in Stafford County, the Sweet Frog off of 17 at Carter Crossing Shop is doing a really nice thing today for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Today is World Adoption Day, in which we celebrate the gift of adoption throughout the world. But on a more local level, Sweet Frog has joined in the celebration and is giving Children's Home Society 25% of its proceeds for anyone who comes in today and partakes of a sweet treat. So we are hoping everyone comes out, enjoys their delicious desserts while benefiting the need for children in Virginia to be adopted. It's World Adoption Day. It's all about permanency. But yep. We're talking about right here locally. There's so many waiting children who need to be placed. And supporting Children's Home Society through this fundraiser will help get more of those children placed in adoptive families.
So, again, it's the Sweet Frog on Route 17, Carter Crossing Shop. And 25% of all proceeds today will go to the Children's Home Society of Virginia. So, Sweet Frog is a great place. And
Absolutely.
Go to that one today and you get 25%. Goes to the Children's Home Society of Virginia. CHSVA.org is their website. You mentioned, Nadine, a few minutes ago, just some of the myths that you have to deal with. Let's run through some of those, because as I looked over some of these, I thought they were ones that I first thought.
Absolutely.
Adoption myth number one, you have to be married to adopt.
That's correct. You do not have to be married. In fact, a majority of our new prospective adoptive parents are singles. Folks who've said, well, I haven't met Mr. or Miss Wright yet, but I have this huge capacity to love. I would love to be a parent. I can really give back to improve the life of a child and enjoy all that parenting brings. And they are so appropriate for so many of the children we have placed in our care, because these children have been victims of abuse and neglect and often do better in a single parent home where that adult can focus on them and help them heal and move forward.
Is that something that has changed in recent years? Did it used to be that you have to be married?
There is a conception in the public, a perception rather, that you have to be adopted. But we've had a number of singles who have been adopting for years. And I think just as the public becomes more aware of the fact that you can be single, that we hope more folks will come forward and make that call.
Adoption myth number two, adoption from foster care is expensive.
And that is indeed a huge myth. In fact, when working with agencies like Children's Home Society, there are no adoption fees in order to adopt. The children that we place out of the foster care system desperately need to be part of a family and are deserving of a family. And so we provide all of our services, the home study, the counseling, the matching, all the adoption legal work at no cost to the adoptive parent. You do not have to be wealthy. What you have to have is the capacity to care for a child in an appropriate home and, again, that ability to love and help that child move forward into their potential.
Adoption myth number three, biological parents can take their kids back.
Once an adoption is finalized, there is no legal recourse for that biological family. And in fact, most biological parents aren't trying to come back and take their child. They've had challenges. Adoption is the best solution for the young person. And we work to make sure that that is never a risk for our adoptive parents, both on the infant side and on the foster care adoption side. When the children are placed, their parents' rights have been legally terminated. Mm-hmm. And so that means that risk is not there. The children just need to be part of a new family.
Adoption myth number four, foster kids are out of control and dangerous. And I hear this one all the time.
And that is such a misconception. Foster kids are great, wonderful children who are so deserving of a loving family. Some of them have been abused and neglected. However, they've been getting counseling and support. And what they're desperate for is not a battle with an adult or to hurt an adult. It's to be loved and safely cared for by an adult. They really value, in fact, permanency and being part of a family. And so that misconception is so false. These children are simply victims who have been placed in a bad place because of bad parenting and are ready and need the support of a loving family.
Adoption myth number five, you have to own a home to adopt.
Again, that goes to the perception that you have to be wealthy in order to adopt. You do not. There are no fees. What you have to, you could rent an apartment. We've had families that resided in a trailer. Whatever the situation is, as long as it's safe, appropriate, there's adequate room for the child to grow up, wealth is not a prerequisite to being a good parent. And our organization believes that and knows that. And so we're looking for the families that can meet the emotional and psychological needs of these children.
But in all of these, I've heard over the years in a lot of different settings, a lot of people, and I guess these are really tough things that you're always trying to continually knock down.
That's absolutely the fact. And we're trying to break down these misconceptions. That's why opportunities like this to let folks know that right now, today in Virginia, there are more than 1,400 children waiting to be adopted. These are children out of the foster care system. And people just don't realize. You often hear you have to go abroad to find a child or out of the state to get a child. There are children right here in Virginia today waiting to be loved, to have someone to call mom and dad.
And that number, boy, 1,400, that's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids. It's unfortunate that the reality is children are placed in foster care when there are not good situations with their biological family. But foster care is intended to be a short-term solution. It's not meant to be long-term. And what happens is they get placed in foster care, they go to school, they participate in after-school activities, they do things that other kids do, and then they kind of sit in limbo far too long. And so our goal as an agency is to get them out of foster care, which is a wonderful short-term solution, mm-hmm. and it serves a purpose. But once it's clear that the child can't return to their biological family, our agency works with a sense of urgency to get those children out of short-term foster care and in with a safe, permanent family. We do that because we know the outcomes for children who just never get adopted and never have that permanency are so much more negative than those who have the benefit of family.
And I know you have a program where we'll get into in the next segment about getting kids out of foster care in the permanency project. We'll talk about that as we go along this morning. 1,400 in Virginia kids nationwide. What are the numbers like for kids?
There are thousands of children nationwide who need to be adopted, and Virginia unfortunately has, with the 1,400, has one of the highest rates of children who never get adopted, who stay in foster care until they turn 18 and then age out. In fact, we rank 50th of the 50 states. We're worse in the nation at the rate at which children never get adopted out of foster care. And that's a real travesty in a state that does so well by so many other things. These children deserve better, and we can do better by them.
But, so when a child ages out, then I guess in some cases they have no family to ever look back at.
Exactly. Often when they age out at 18, they have no family. They are on their own, literally, to find housing, to find transportation, to get a job, to get through school, just to find food. They are so vulnerable and so fragile. They've already come from a history of abuse and neglect. They've moved from foster family to foster family. And then at 18, when they're on their own, they are not equipped to succeed. And therefore, their outcomes are so much more dire than the general population of children and youth.
Now, because you think, Nadine, just in a regular family setting, how tough it is when you get to be that age, but at least you've got the safety net and the support of a family to,
exactly.
as you just described it there. That to me, that just sounds terrifying.
Few of us are able at 18 with full supports to live on our own and to make wise choices and to take care of ourselves. In so many different ways. And it's a challenging time out there economically. That makes the situation for these young people that much more difficult. To compound that with the fact that they've already been moved around several times in foster care, they have a history of abuse and neglect. These children are set up to fail unless we can provide them the supports they need. And so our goal really is always get children into an adoptive family. Give them that permanency. Every child deserves just someone that they can come home to, that one person who can give them guidance, provide them direction, some wisdom when they're willing to receive it, and to come back to. If you think, even if you're in college, who do you go home to when you don't have a permanent family during the holidays?
I was just going to say, the holidays, with the holidays coming up, how sad must that be for too many kids?
For too many kids. And we can do better, especially when our Commonwealth, again, has the resources and the capacity to do so many other great things with a vulnerable population like kids who've come out of foster care, we should be able to do better.
Is there something, is there anything the General Assembly could do help you out?
There are a number of policies that we promote that we believe in, which would really help expedite the adoptive placement of children so we can get them adopted earlier and provide them greater supports if they do happen to age out. And so policy is one of our concerns. Our focus, however, is to make sure the adoptions happen so that we don't get the kids to the point where they age out. But we think that there is some room to grow. Fostering Connections is some legislation that's currently pending before this upcoming General Assembly that would really provide greater supports for kids in the foster care system and ensure that they have better outcomes.
And what would that involve, or what would the legislation be?
It's a variety of priorities, including one that says if a child ages out, in Virginia right now, they have 60 days to try to get back into the system. We would ask that that be extended so that they have a longer period of time to come back so that that safety net is available to them. And so it's a complex legislative issue with a number of facets, but the primary goal is get the permanency before they get age out, and if they do age out, provide them the supports they need, an ability, for example, to stay in foster care a little longer where they have their parental supports in place.
Besides needing adoptive parents, do you have any needs for still more foster families?
There are always needs for great foster parents because, unfortunately, abuse and neglect still exist in our community. And so I know that the local departments of social services are always looking for folks, married and single, who can be a resource to a child who's hurting and needs a safe place to stay while social services works with those parents to get the child safely returned or adopted if that's necessary.
Boy, there's so many facets to this
whole thing, some
of it's heartbreaking, other parts are joyful, but
it truly is. I think the toughest part of our work is seeing how badly some children can be treated with biological families. But the most amazing part is seeing how foster parents can be that bridge, and then the power of love that comes through the adoptive parents who help these young people heal, move forward, and grow into their full potential. It's simply amazing.
And I guess you see so many different variables, and unfortunately, they're the stories. The bad stories seem to get emphasized.
The bad stories too, and yet the good stories, the adoptive parents who come forward and say, "We are here for you," especially with the older children when there's some unknowns, is amazing. We often tell the folks who adopt older children that you may not be the first one to change your diaper or see their first steps, but what you will be able to do is be there to go to their first prom or teach them how to drive for the first time. There are a lot of firsts and amazing things that can happen when you're parenting an older child out of the foster care system. And folks often say these parents are heroes. But as an adoptive parent, I know that the real benefit is to the adoptive family. These children are joy. You see them transform and thrive and become all that they were destined to be. And so the reward is really to the adoptive family as much as the child. In fact, I'd like to say it's a win-win-win, because when children are placed in adoptive families, the children have better outcomes, the adoptive parents benefit, and our whole community wins, because we don't have the negative outcomes that occur when a child isn't adopted and ends up in a part of the system.
Yeah. CHSVA.org, CHSVA.org for the Children's Home Society of Virginia. That's a website that has all kinds of good stuff on it. This is World Adoption Day. Nadine Marsh Carter here, the president and CEO of the Children's Home Society of Virginia here. More coming up on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll talk about the Possibilities Project.
Yes.
We'll talk about what that's all about. When we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA, it's now 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It's World Adoption Day today. Nadine Marsh Carter here from the Children's Home Society of Virginia. Nadine, I think what makes it so fascinating talking to you is just the understanding you have, because to you, this is more than a job. You're an adoptive parent.
Absolutely. An adoptive parent of two teenagers now. And I see firsthand how through adoption, family is created, love is there, support is there through the thick and thin. And as we were talking off air, that for every adoption, there is going to be a loss. There has to be a separation from your biological family, and that's a powerful thing, and it doesn't go away. But adoption provides love and support and all the benefits of family on the other side of that, and it truly does change lives for the better.
And I think that's probably what families who do go through some grief and in pain, that this has to be done,
right?
But to remember that there is that child is being taken care of,
and that's the driving force: permanency, a safe family, a loving family for a child who would otherwise not have perhaps the same stability and supports that they he or she needs at that moment.
We've talked a lot this morning about youth who are in foster care and who age out. Talk to me about the Possibilities Project.
Well, that's a new program that Children's Home Society has begun in cooperation with the Better Housing Coalition of Richmond. The reason we started this program is, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Virginia happens to rank worst in the nation at the rate of children who age out of foster care, which means more kids are aging out of our foster care system on a pro rata basis than any other state. And we wanted to stop that. We know that when children do not get adopted and age out of foster care, their outcomes are very dire. 20%, one in five will end up homeless within 2 years. 25% of them end up incarcerated within that same time period. 42% of them will drop out of high school. 71% of the girls will become pregnant by the time they're 20. Just all of these negative outcomes happen because the children or youth don't have the stability and supports they need to survive and thrive. So we created this program, the Possibilities Project, as a way to provide a safety net for youth who age out of foster care. In cooperation with the Better Housing Coalition, we will be providing youth housing, but we'll also provide them counseling, therapeutic counseling, to help them address their grief and loss, vocational training, connections to community colleges, access to health care. We're providing each of the youth a life coach, a lifelong mentor who says, I will be that permanent adult in your life, that person to whom you can come when things are tough or share exciting possibilities in your life to provide you guidance and stability. We're giving them all the supports that a young person should get if they were able to be part of a permanent family. And we're requiring the youth, as a part of participating in this program, to pay it forward, to engage in community service and or advocacy to promote public awareness about the needs of youth in foster care. So our goal is to capture them before they become one of those negative statistics and provide them the supports they need to become a productive citizen, which is what it's all about.
What a great program. This has, boy, just the potential to really, really help some kids.
To help some kids and, again, help our community, because it prevents the cost of incarceration and homelessness and early pregnancy, all those things that happen if they don't get into a permanent safe place.
Because I would think, and just trying to think this through as a person who's in foster care, and if I'm aging out, just on a real basic level, at some point I'm sitting around thinking, why does no one want me?
They've had that rejection from the start of their life, from an early point in their life, the rejection that led to them being placed in foster care, again, the abuse or neglect, then moving from foster family to foster family, never having been adopted. And often at 18, they're angry. They're frustrated. They feel like the system has let them down. They're tired of social workers telling them what to do. And they think, sadly, that they're ready. And some of them may be, but by far a majority are not. And so they couch surf for a while. They stay at friends' homes. They kind of meander from job to job. But ultimately, it's just too much pressure on a young person to, again, find a job, housing, training, food, shelter, all the things that you need in order to really thrive and become a productive member of society. And so they stumble. And we want to capture this population. We know that they are good kids who've just been the victims of bad circumstances, and give them the tools to become independent. And the goal is not to just house and give them everything they need. It's to teach resilience, to teach independence, to help them have a sense of accountability and a sense of giving back to the community, so as they become independent, then other young people can come through this process.
As I think about this with just being in foster care and not having the stability, because you think of school,
right?
And if your family stays in one area, you get to know the school. But if you're moving around, that's really tough to just to be able
to function well.
Right.
Absolutely. In fact, the youth that we work with on average have moved to four different families and five different schools in that same time period. So there's just real lack of stability. You aren't able to bond not only with families, but with your classmates, with your teachers. You feel ostracized. You feel isolated and alone. That's why the Possibilities Project does have a counseling component, because we want these young people to feel connected and grounded and confident about themselves so that they can become good members, productive members of society. Good kids, but tough circumstances, and we want to transform their outcomes.
Start to finish, to get a child adopted is what's the average around in Virginia?
So the time varies. It could take up to I'm hesitant to say a specific time because it really depends on the circumstance of the child. What we would do is encourage folks who are interested in adopting a child out of foster care or an infant to come to an orientation where we provide an overview of the process, and then if they want to move forward, for our families who adopt kids out of foster care, we have a 6-week training course in which we prepare them to understand the needs of children who have been traumatized and the impact that trauma can have on a child's functioning and just how to help build a relationship with a child and help them heal. After the 6 weeks of training, then we provide matching services so that we make sure that the family can meet the needs of the child. Some children do better, as we mentioned earlier, in a single-parent home. Others do better with a family. Some children do well with a family that has other children in the home, and some need to be single. So we look at the circumstances of the child, and we make sure that the family can meet the needs of the child, and that's an important distinction to us. We're not looking to place for children for families. We find families for children. After the matching has been done, then we move forward with the home study process, and we provide supports after the placement has taken place for the lifetime of the adoption. We recognize that once a placement has happened, there are still a lot of challenges that could occur, and we want to be there and be a resource to help the family navigate those resources as the child becomes acclimated to being part of a healthy family environment. So we provide a lifetime of post-adoption support, which includes everything from support groups to counseling sessions to kids' respite. Our goal always is permanency, making sure that the families bond and love and move forward.
Boy, the people, the counselors that you have and the work that you do, special people.
They're amazing ladies. Our social workers are getting trauma trained. Master's level degrees or licensed clinical social workers, that we get adoption, we understand all of the benefits and how to navigate the process as a family becomes one and merges together. I'm so proud of my team and their compassion, their professionalism, their accessibility. They really do focus on what is the best for this child and how can we keep this family together.
And you've got offices in Richmond, but you also have an office in Fredericksburg.
Yes, we do, and we are thrilled to be a part of the complex with Goodwill, which has a collaborative zone with all of the nonprofits working
there. That's where you're at. I was going to ask you where you were at.
Yes, so we're really pleased to have moved in there recently. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to be visible as a part of the nonprofit community and also to support other nonprofits as we work together. It's tough to be a nonprofit because the resources are challenged in our community and there's always a need for more supports in order to provide our services. So it's good to be in that area where the rent is affordable, it's a professional environment, mm-hmm. and we can be accessible to our clients. Resources are a challenge for every nonprofit, and we share that. With more resources, we can place more children into adoptive families. And I think it's important for your listeners to know, again, there are no fees to adopt a child through the foster care system. And so we use support to offset the cost of recruiting families for the children, training the families, providing them that support. Donations do make a difference. And that's why the World Adoption Celebration at Sweet Frog is such an added benefit to us.
Again, that's taking place today at Sweet Frog. 25% of the proceeds today at the Carter Crossing Shop on Route 17 in Stafford will benefit the Children's Home Society. So do you have, can people become like monthly donors? Do you have that kind of thing?
We accept monthly donations, especially during this holiday season when people are feeling generous. You can give online or send a donation to our organization. We accept resources any way that we can get them, and we're so grateful because we want to make sure that adoption fees are never a barrier to someone taking an at-risk or abused or neglected child. We don't want to charge fees to our families. We want to keep this so that cost doesn't prevent a family from being created for a child who's in need.
Well, and I think one of the great things of having you here today and discussing a lot of this is just we talked about the myths, and one of the bigger ones I think you hear is that a lot of people feel like you've got to go overseas now
right.
to be able to
right.
adopt. And you've said no.
No, there are 1,400, actually almost 1,500 children today in Virginia who are waiting to be adopted, waiting to have someone to call mom or dad, someone to be there at the bus stop who's going to be there for the rest of their lives, who's going to be there during the holidays, who's going to encourage them and support them and laugh with them and cry with them as they become productive members of our society.
How you said you've got a couple of teenagers that
yes,
adoptive
yeah.
teenagers. How long have you been an adoptive parent?
Well, I adopted my two as infants. I took the less challenging route, and they've been with us. We adopted our daughter in 1999, so I'm giving away my age, and it was just an answer to prayer.
Yeah.
And then about 2 years almost to the day, we got a call from the agency that her birth parents had another child, so they're full siblings. And we were just felt especially blessed. Just a complete surprise. And yet that's one of the things that our agency, I really commend them for, is about keeping siblings together, keeping sibling groups together, because that's so important in the development of the children. And so when that parent had another baby, the agency reached out to us and said, hey, would you consider adopting? Would we consider? There's no doubt. And it's been such a gift to us ever since.
Is that what got you involved then with the Children's Home Society?
Actually, yes. I started at the agency as an attorney doing legal work for the organization. As I served clients and finalizing their adoptions, I saw how Children's Home Society parents were so happy, so pleased with the professionalism and the compassion that they received, so that when my husband and I determined that we were going to adopt, it was a no-brainer to come to Children's Home Society. So I started as a lawyer, became a client, adopted our daughter, was an answer to prayer. And after 2 years, we got the call again that another baby was available. Our lives were transformed through that process. And I became a member of the board of directors. And so when the CEO retired, a couple of folks said, you know, you should throw your name in the hat. And here I am. Never
yeah.
dreamed it. You know, I walked past the sofa in our lobby, and I remember sitting there 20-something years ago with an empty car seat waiting to meet my first child. And
wow.
I get the power of that. And I also understand now that often it's not just couples with empty car seats, it's teenagers that are sitting in that seat, scared, frustrated, discouraged with the system and wondering, where will I be? But we've got an adoptive parent who's in the other room ready to be there and meet their needs and celebrate life as they move forward as a young adult. And so it gives me goosebumps just honestly every day when I see how a child can transform and reach their full potential when part of a safe, loving family.
And by having an office in Fredericksburg,
right.
if someone wants to be involved, it's not like you have to drive to Richmond
to
meet.
Richmond.
You can go and set up an appointment and meet with them right here in Fredericksburg.
Right here in Fredericksburg, we have a wonderful social worker, Ms. Whitley, who is here in Fredericksburg and can answer your questions. We'll conduct an orientation, and we are ready to be a resource. We need families; these children need families, and the families who do come forward to adopt won't be disappointed. It's an amazing journey.
The website again is chsva.org, chsva.org, the Children's Home Society of Virginia. Nadine Marsh Carter here, more on Town Talk. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Nadine Marsh Carter here, the president and CEO of the Children's Home Society of Virginia. They've got an office in Fredericksburg. We're in the complex where Goodwill is, and you can get a hold of them there if you want to talk to someone locally, or you can check out the website. We'll give the website before we get out of here, too. Nadine, you are just so passionate in talking about this and just have – you're just – like I said a few minutes ago, there's something different about talking to you than someone who just – it's more than just numbers. I mean,
it's about children's lives. I live it every day. I see the joy that adoption brings in the lives of children. I understand how there are waiting children right now in Virginia who deserve no less than our children have in terms of stability, love, support, laughter, a sense of safety. And I see on the front line how being a part of a permanent adoptive family truly transforms the life of a child in so many wonderful ways. We believe in it, and we know that if people are aware that there are children in Virginia right now waiting to be adopted, they can change the life of a child by making a simple phone call or peeking at our website.
You came up from Richmond today to be here to talk about this. Do you travel around and talk to different groups?
Yes, I welcome the opportunity to get out into churches, civic groups, book clubs, wherever we can get the word out about a fascinating challenge in Virginia, and that's that we have children waiting longer than other states, desperately in need of a permanent family, and there are ways that our community can rally to get these children placed in safe, loving families.
You mentioned there's always the need for foster families, but there's also the opportunities and needs for families that are thinking about adopting.
Absolutely. And as an adoptive parent, I just would love for folks to get the message that adoption is a win-win-win. It's a benefit to the child, to the adoptive family as well, and to our entire community. And so if folks check out our website to see those waiting children or give our office a call, 800-247-2888. Then please let us know how we can be a resource to come and share information about adoption and the number of children in our community who need families.
Again, 1-800-247-2888 or chsva.org. You can go to Sweet Frog today on Route 17 in Stafford, and you get a little bit of money.
Sweet Treat makes a sweet difference in the life of a waiting child. We get 25% of the proceeds. So I hope folks come out and partake of dessert while they make a difference in the lives of wonderful children in our community.
You'll like what Sweet Frog has. And so if you go to the one on Route 17, Carter Crossing Shop, 25% of proceeds will benefit the Children's Home Society of Virginia. Just the fact, Nadine, that you talk about 1,500 kids waiting for adoption. That's a lot of kids. Too many kids.
It's too many kids, and they're all great young people, different ages, races. What they have is a common denominator. They need someone to call mom and dad, and they need them today. And folks who are listening right now could be that person to change a life and change their own in so many wonderful ways.
The Children's Home Society of Virginia is nonprofit, and people can give funding.
Yes, we do need resources because we don't charge fees to get these children placed. Resources are critical to the operation of our organization. And so during this holiday season, it's a perfect time to make a donation, knowing that every gift will help a child become part of a safe, permanent family. Not everyone can adopt, but everyone can make a difference by providing support as we make sure Virginia's children get the opportunities to be safe and part of a family.
CHSVA.org, 1-800-247-2888. The Children's Home Society of Virginia has an office in Fredericksburg on Market Street. That is where the Goodwill Complex, where Rappahannock Goodwill Industries has a number of groups there. Nadine Marsh Carter, thank you very much. Boy, this was good. We've got to have you back and continue on this conversation.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate this opportunity. We appreciate Sweet Frog, and hope everyone comes out to celebrate World Adoption Day.
And that is Sweet Frog, Route 17 in Stafford, chsva.org. That's it for
Town
Talk.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.